And we're back, and I believe our guest is with us, Patrice Bonimutwa. Are you there, Patrice? Hello? Maybe he's there. We'll see.
Hello?
Ah, there you are, Patrice. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Phil.
This is, to me, very shocking news. We have covered the story of Rwanda for many years, and I have just remarked on the program that every year at April time, a prominent or, well, maybe not prominent, but Rwandans in the diaspora, some of them are, someone gets charged, and then they say they are, look, the Western governments in there are assisting the government of Rwanda in hunting down genocidaires. And this is a big one. This is a big story. The individual we're talking about is Stanislas Bonimpeka. Tell us about this. How has this unfolded? How has the community, the diaspora, been responding to this?
Oh, yes, we are really surprised because Stanislas Bonimpeka has been free for so long in Europe. He was living in Europe for so many years, more than 20 years. So they knew he was there. So everybody knew he was there. Authorities knew he was there. He lived in France. He was living in Belgium with his family. So peaceful life. And we are really surprised. And I think, Phil, you're right when you say that every year in April they try to charge someone. And this year, we think that they have chosen someone they see as a big opportunity to show to the government of Kigali that they are trying to help them in their campaign of showing that there are still genocidaires that have not been pursued in their prosecuted in abroad. So I think it's a way for Belgium, actually, it's a political act of Belgium trying to show that they have they're making efforts to pursue people who have, to prosecute people who have been involved in the genocide in Rwanda. Mm-hmm. But today I think the one they chose is really obviously the wrong guy, it's the wrong man, because of course he was important. Stanislas Bonimpeka has been involved in political activities in Rwanda. He was well known as a man of opposing. He was in the opposition, from the PL, Liberal Parti Liberal, which was Liberal Party in Rwanda. He founded it in 1990 when democracy was resumed again in Rwanda after a long period when there was no democracy in Rwanda. And he created a party, and that was the first party actually claiming that Hutu and Tutsi had to live together. He created a party especially with another man was Landwal Ndasingwa, who was a Tutsi, and also Justin Mugenzi was also a Hutu. And their flag, the flag of their party, was three stars representing the three ethnic groups of Rwanda. So they had claimed at the very beginning in 1990, after the country was facing war from the RPF, which is now on power in Kigali, they had claimed that Rwandan had to live together as Hutu and Tutsi, and they created a party in that purpose to show people that they should live together. He's the wrong guy. And before that, just after the RPF had attacked Rwanda in 1990 in October, just before creating that party, he had decided as a lawyer, he used to be in the army in the 70s, then he left the army to join, to create a law firm, because he was someone really believing in human rights, believing in democracy, and decided to create his own law firm. And when the country was attacked by soldiers who happened to be Tutsi at that time, Tutsi soldiers attacking the country, He decided to defend them.
Yeah,
and say,
if I could just ask you, I mean, that is a very important moment, because when the attack happened in October 1990, the government was looking for people who might be civilian allies of the RPF. They suspected them, and Mr. Bonimpeka when they were arrested, he went to court and defended those people who were placed in custody for allegedly for security reasons. Is that right?
Yes, it's right. He did more than that, because he defended not only civilians who were expected to be working for the RPF, but also soldiers who were arrested in at the battlefield. Just at the battlefield, he decided to defend them, because he said, if we want to create a country where we respect human rights, you know, we have to do that for everybody, even those people who are arrested at the battlefield. Even them have they have the right to be defended, and he did that. And it was very hard to understand what he was doing at that time, because the country felt like, you know, you are betraying us because you are defending people who have taken guns against the country. Yes. That is something which was really strong at that time. And now, of course, 30 years later, we see it as a hero, as someone who was really courageous. But at that time, Rwandan couldn't understand it. And then the third thing he did, which was really also something which shows that he was a special man, was ahead of his own generation, ahead of people, even people here talking everywhere in the world. Can you imagine, it was 30 years ago in a country, Rwanda, before the genocide happened. He didn't tolerate, as a minister of justice, because when democracy started in Rwanda, then the opposition parties managed to convince the party on power at that time, the party of the president, they should open the government and create like a government before welcoming the RPF in this framework of the negotiations they were making. So they put in place a transitional government in which Bonaventure, as the leader, one of the leader of the opposition party, the Liberal Party, accepted to be the Minister of Justice. And in that job of Minister of Justice, he had decided to issue an arrest warrant against someone who had he did that. He issued an arrest warrant against someone who had said things that could lead to massacres against Tutsi in Rwanda at that time. So he decided to say, okay, let's arrest him. I'm the Minister of Justice. We cannot accept in this country, it was in 1992, that someone can go in a meeting publicly, call people to kill others. And at that time, Tutsi were targeted in that speech of that man. And he decided to issue an arrest warrant against him, despite the fact that people wouldn't understand at that time where it could lead. And we know that it led later on to massacres, of course, and both Hutus and Tutsi were killed, of course, in Rwanda. But at that time, he decided to defend Tutsis. I insist on the fact that he decided to defend, to go against people who were targeting Tutsi, because they are now accusing him of playing a role in the genocide against Tutsi, which is completely nonsense.
They're contradicting themselves. You would think that the Western states who claim to be interested in human rights for Rwanda would be the first to come and defend him, because he's the one who actually stood for the principles.
Yeah, but we are afraid that maybe the main reason why he's arrested is a political reason, because he's, apart from being a man of human rights, he has been politically opposed to the power of taking the power by force by the RPF. That's the problem. He went into the government of the people who said, I don't want the RPF to take the power by force. I don't want them to come and just kill people and take the power. And the fact that he has played that role in the history of Rwanda is the reason why the RPF has always been taking him as a target. Mm-hmm. And and now we think that Western countries, 30 years after what happened in Rwanda, a genocide of the Tutsi people also that is commemorated today, they think that we will arrest him just to please maybe the government of Kigali. But the government of Kigali has a lot of things to be held accountable of, including killing Hutus, genocide against Hutus. Well, that is another topic, another things we have to talk about, but has to be said one day.
Isn't part of this motivation on the part of Kagame's government that it is an individual like Mr. Bonaventure who poses a great threat to them, because, and they're trying to label him because, in fact, he has a record of being in favor of multipartism and protection of all of the ethnic groups of Rwanda, which poses a threat to the current leadership.
I think so. You're right, Phil. Your analysis is completely right, because it wouldn't be the first time that the RPF targets people who happens to be the people.
Don't like moderates. They don't like reasonable people.
that's what they've been doing. Because if you look at the assassinations that have occurred in Rwanda, especially from 1990 to 1994, if you talk about Emmanuel Gapyisi, even after that, Setse Ndeshonga, all those people were killed because they were capable of, being people looking for democracy, fighting for democracy, observing human rights, and being, smart people, well-known intellectual people in Rwandan communities. So that's why they are targeted. So Mbonimpa should be definitely considered as one of them, even though he's now almost 80 years old.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Patrice Banyamugwa. He is himself a lawyer, and we're helping us understand how charges could have been brought, are being brought against Stanislaus Mbonimpa, a Liberal Party leader of Rwanda. And, tell us, what do you know about what kinds of, how do they intend to make this case? Do you know?
Sorry, how did?
What is their strategy? What are they going to claim about Mr. Mbonimpa?
It's almost the same way they operate. It's they go into the village where he was living, in the city where he was living in Rwanda, and they go there. They try to see who has been charged of killing people at that place, and then after finding the perpetrators, the people who have killed people in that city, they go and take those people who has actually been involved in those killings, and they ask him to come and testify that they were sent by Mbonimpa, or that they were acting on behalf of Mbonimpa, or that they were with Mbonimpa.
These will be people who are either have been or are in custody themselves, right?
Of course.
This is a way of trading.
Yes, of course. While, there are a lot of people who, he was not put, there were no charges put against him until now, but if they want to make like a political, political coup today, is okay, let's try to see if we can find something against Mbonimpa. But that's the way they operate all the time, try to find witnesses who can come and say things they don't believe, which are not true at all. Mm-hmm. Of course, and even though he had spent a very short time in his own city before leaving that city, because he left on the 15th of April, he had already left his place, he was a refugee in Gitarama, they will try to find people who will testify against him for the 9 days he was there.
You would think a court would be very suspicious of that type of testimony, because you have a state in which there's only one party in power. You have thousands and thousands of people in prison. And so if somebody who's in one of those prisons comes and makes an accusation in another country about an 82-year-old man who was a party political leader, you would think a court would say that, and weighing it, would think that's not very, very compelling evidence.
The problem is that we have experience in that, and we've seen that sometimes, and here in Belgium especially, they tend to just believe and take things for granted. So we can be really worried about the outcome of the thing. But of course, Mbonimpa is something which is a little bit stronger than anyone else that who could be accused of that. Is the integrity and the character and what he has done. So we have things in the history of Rwanda that we know that he has done, the position he has adopted, an ongoing position, ongoing. He was consistent in his position against, people wanting to kill other people, protecting minority, protecting everybody, that we really hope that this will play, because if you come to criminal justice, it's always about the way the judge will be, will think at the end. It's the mind of the judge that will decide at the end. So we really think that the judges here, maybe in this case in Belgium, if he's prosecuted, of course, because he has not been prosecuted yet. Things are being investigated. And we really hope, we also hope that during the investigations, the judge will say, okay, this is nonsense due to the man of integrity we have here. And the things he's done are clear. The three things I've mentioned earlier are really clear: creating a political party with Tutsi Hutu together, issuing an arrest warrant against someone who has publicly called to murder, and also defending, that was the very beginning, defending people who were attacking the country and who happened to be Tutsi soldiers at that time, and decided not to defend their rights, because he knew that defending their rights would be defending the rights of all Rwandans. So it's quite important. If we could have people like him in a country like Rwanda, more than one, that would have maybe have avoided a lot of things that happened in that country.
Mm-hmm. Part of the story is that people should know is that he really is a part of integral part of modern Rwandan history. His wife is the daughter of the first president of Rwanda when they established a republic. And the current government calls himself a republic based on the original republic. They chose to go that path. It seems very political that someone with his background and credibility represents maybe the future of Rwanda.
Yes, he's a political symbol, of course. He's a political symbol, that's true. And also being married to the daughter of the first president of Rwanda is also something that makes him a target. Mm-hmm. But now, when we talk about a republic in Rwanda, what the people who did revolution were fighting for was not just to have the name of republic changing what yes. was a kingdom before, replacing what was a kingdom before. That was not the fight that was not what they were fighting for. They were fighting for democracy, first of all, to have all Rwandans have equal yes. rights in their country.
But a multi-party system.
Yes, today we have, if you talk about 13 million of Rwandan, if you count them, we have now more than 12 million of Rwandan who are suffering, who doesn't have the right to say anything. You know, what is said about Rwanda is just things that are on social medias, broadcasted, and some people, a few Rwandan, are talking about we did this, we did that, but that's not the way Rwandan see that. They all live like in a big prison, they are alone. So the republic we talk about, Republic of Rwanda, is just a name, but the reality is that Rwandan people are suffering, really suffering. They are completely closed down in their own country. Mm-hmm. That's just a question of communication. Of the government is paying a lot of money just to show to the entire world that maybe they are doing this, doing that. But if you don't have people in your country who are evolving, who are living together also peacefully and as Hutus and Tutsis, clearly, then of course you're doing nothing. You're doing nothing, and we know that someday the young people of Rwanda will question that too. And it's quite normal, because we cannot expect the people who are on power on Rwanda to do anything in the right sense, just because they are part of the people. They are actually responsible of a large part of the massacres that were committed in 1994. That's true. That's a fact.
They seem to be terrified of an authentic opposition. We had the case of the Hotel Rwanda gentleman who they went to all the trouble to kidnap him illegally and bring him to the country because he began to pose something incredible in the way of an opposition. And in the case of Mr. Bonampeka, a very credible individual with plenty of evidence of the integrity of his outlook, and he poses a problem for them. Can you tell us now the background of when will this case find its way to court? And is it a case that they're going to accuse him of association with the radio RTLM? I guess those are two questions I'd like to make sure I ask.
Oh, I don't know if this is an accusation talking about the RTLM that they may raise in the file, but everything can go up. But it has already been judged, especially in front of the Arusha court, International Criminal Court of Rwanda, that being like a shareholder of the RTLM doesn't make you someone who's responsible of what RTLM may have broadcasted at that time. So we don't know. But now we think that we don't know when the case will be in court. We don't know what will be the charges at the end. The things are still under investigation.
Why can't he be out on bail, by the way? He's an 82-year-old man who's never hidden. And why can't he be bailed? Why can't he be released until time of court?
Of course, that's the first step. That's the first step. And I hope that this will happen very soon. You know, that's the first step, of course. But the judges of Belgium, they need to you know, to, because it's the office of the prosecutor that who issues arrest warrants in Belgium, and then the judges have to check that, to understand that it's a political act that has been issued by the Ministry of Justice, and they talk about that and they do that. But we really hope that after this day of April, because there are always tensions, huge tensions at this period of the year, that they will have time to look into the case calmly and check and then take their decision the right way. That's something we hope, you know.
Mm-hmm. On that issue of RTLM, I mean, that is one that I've done some programs on, and there is an individual who is most of the world regards as a professional witness, Valerie, I can't recall the rest of her name, but she appears all over the place as a witness. She's in custody, and she's been known to say practically anything about anybody they want to have accused.
Yes. It's Valerie Bemerici, that's her name. She was a journalist for the RTLM radio in 1994 and a little bit before. And she was arrested at very early when the RPF took the power in Rwanda. So they spent many years trying to force her, to corrupt her. And unfortunately, they after 15 years of torture and pressure, hard pressure, they managed to bring her to use her as a witness for something. She has to invent things, to say things that are not true. They know it perfectly. She knows it, but she actually, we can say that she doesn't have the choice. But at the very beginning, when she was questioned at the very beginning, even though she had been tortured also at that time, she was saying, okay, those people are not involved. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. And they always wanted to have her point someone who are politically active, especially people who are against the taking of power by the RPF, politicians who were clearly against that. And of course, Bonampeka can be targeted by Mrs. Bemerici. They want to, if they want to use her again. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are there signs? I think it'd be a good place to wind up on this matter. But are there? I would expect now there are many prominent people in opposition in the diaspora. Are they? Are there signs that they will rally to the case of Mr. Bonampeka?
Meaning they will rally, meaning that they will
come to his defense or prepare to testify, that kind of thing. Would you anticipate that?
Yes, we can anticipate that. Of course, there are so many people who can testify. Though the people he defended, I hope it's their turn now to come and say a word regarding Bonapeka when he was defending them at that time, when nobody wanted to defend them, when they were treated as enemies of the nation. Maybe we can have them. We can have a lot of people. There are other politicians he has worked with. Unfortunately, for example, Lando Waldasingwa, who created the Liberal Party with him in late 1990, was assassinated by the RPF troops because they knew, the Kagame's troops knew that he was a Tutsi who was against the way RPF was trying to take the power by force and to kill people instead of trying to really negotiate and create a new Rwanda. So he was assassinated at that time. So he would not be there to testify. But other people were there. Other yes. people worked with him. They know him. And Bonamaker is well known in Rwanda. It's something which is publicly mm-hmm. known by all Rwandans, that it's not the way he was acting. Actually, yeah. he was someone who was ahead of his generation. He could be a hero if there was another government in Rwanda.
Yes. It sounds like it's a tragedy for Stanislaus Bonimpeka that he has to go through this, but actually a trial where valuable witnesses come who know the true story, it may be a good thing, a silver lining, maybe that the truth will come out as a result.
Yeah, we can see this maybe as an opportunity to go deeper in revealing the truth about what happened in Rwanda. This is actually one of the consequences. Like this interview we've been offered to, you are offering me to speak on this case, that's also a way of, allowing people to speak while they don't have maybe opportunity to speak openly like this. That's a good thing, and I hope it will happen everywhere in the planet now.
Yes,
and maybe also in Rwanda, people will start speaking and talking. Yeah.
Well, I hope that is the case, and that light is finally cast on this tragedy, and I hope he gets bail. Patrice Banyamudwa, we are very grateful that you talked to us, and we are going to follow it very, very closely. So we hope we can talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much, Phil. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.